Help God people fed. Amen. That was a blessing. I love it. And, and I would, couldn't see the little one quite as easy, but I was paying attention to all the older ones because I could read their lips if they were singing or not. You can tell if they're in sync or not. You can move your lip, but you can't fool this guy. I know if you're singing online, in queue or not. So, and it came from the heart, and what a blessing that was. I want you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 1, please. Luke chapter 1. And we come together for a Christmas message. I have tried to, I've only been doing them for the last 40 years. This would be my 27th one since I've been here. 1 month I did it morning and evening for the entire month of December. You're bound to repeat because you can. What a great truth. Christmas, it is about the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the first advent, his coming to begin the work of redemption. One of the preachers years ago said that he was born to die from a manger to the cross. And I have simply entitled my message, What Child Is This? Nothing original. By way of introduction, during Christmas, we talk a lot about the narrative of the first advent of Christ. We hear and read much about the narrative of the first Christmas. We hear about the people involved, such as Mary and Joseph, Zacharias and Elizabeth, the birth of John the Baptist and the shepherd, the event and places around the coming of the Messiah. For example, the decree from Caesar Augustus that sent Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus in a manger because there was no room in the inn, the town of Nazareth, shepherds tending to their flock in the field, etc. One of the most important parts of the Christmas story we tend to forget is the messages from the angels. The people placed an event tells us what happened. But the angel's message tells it why, how, and who. Angels are real. They're not a fantasy. They're not a figment of somebody's imagination. They are real creatures. In the Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek, the word for angel is translated messenger or an ambassador when referring to humans. But it usually translated the word angel when referring to an immaterial created spirit being. Being a spirit, they are not bound by physical space and they can travel between heaven and earth. The context tells it whether they refer to holy angels, Satan, demons, or the angel of the Lord. The Bible gives the 26 specific historical encounters with angels, 10 in the Old, 16 in the New. One of the main functions of angels are given is they are sent by God to deliver his message to certain people. Today we're going to take a look at the messages that the angel delivered to answer our question in our sermon title. The title comes from a familiar Christmas hymn, and it poses a question. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet in with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? Where do we go for the answer? Theologian? No, there's no consensus among theologians with them. Some say he is God, while others say he was only a good man. How about the religious leaders or Herod in the Christmas story? No, as well, they are men at best and they showed no interest in this child. So our best option is to go to the angels who are sent to deliver the message that answers our question. You should have your Bible open to Luke chapter 1. Let's read verses 26 to 38. Follow along as I read. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God, by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign forever, over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father, as we look into the Christmas story in three places, we're going to listen to the angel's message that you gave them to give, to tell the world, to tell us this morning, to tell those involved at the first Christmas. The message of answering the question of the why and the how and the who involved. Lord, we know the story well. We know what happened. But often we forget for our own comfort, we fail to meditate and reflect upon the why of his coming. How is it possible that God becoming a man, and the who in the person of Jesus Christ? So Father, we pray that you would help us to take a moment to listen to the angel. Their message is profound. They have depth. They give a truth of all that Jesus did. It would eliminate so much confusion in the church and in the world about who Jesus is if we just listen to what the angel gave us that first time. So Father, we ask these things for your honor and your glory, and certainly in the light of Christmas, the exaltation of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I had just read the story of the angel coming to Mary. The angel's name was Gabriel, and he appeared twice in the Christmas story. The first one was to announce the birth of John the Baptist to John's father in Zechariah. John's father, Zechariah, in Luke chapter 1. The second time was to announce the birth of Jesus to Mary in our passage. It is this announcement that helped us to find the answer to what child is this. When you look at verse 28, it speaks of the fact that when the angel came, it said, "Rejoice, highly favored one." It was speaking, and the word favor means grace. that you have been graced by God. You have been graced, and obviously we know that she had been singled out of all women of all time. This is the one woman that would give birth to the Son of God, the Son of our Heavenly Father. And yet truly this speaks of God's grace and favor to Mary. And then in verse 29, she stated the obvious. Verse 29, but when she saw him, when he saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Considered like, this is a strange greeting. So we have here, rather than shalom, peace, and whatever that with the standard greeting, this angel. Now, I would have thought she would have been more overtaken by the visitor as an angel than the message. But here she was troubled at his saying, what greeting is this? Verse 30, Gabriel first said, do not be afraid. In other words, don't be fearful. I come in peace. We're good. And then reassured her of God's favor, her God's grace towards her. And then in verse 31, he laid the bombshell. And that bombshell is, you will conceive a son and call him Jesus. And in verse 32, it tells you what this son will be. Verse 32, it said, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest. Not the son of Joseph, but the Son of the Highest, which is nothing more than the Old Testament name, the Lord God Most High. The Son of the Highest means there is nothing higher than the highest. Speaking of God. In accord, Mary responded with a, How is this possible? I have never known a man, which is insane. She would never have had a sexual relationship with a man. How can it be? How can I be pregnant? How can I have a baby when I've never known a man? That's why she's called a virgin in the front of the story. Twice. A virgin. And so we see here that she had been favored and graced to bear in her womb and give birth to the Son of God, or the one who will be great and called the Son of the Highest. In her response, Gabriel responded in verse 35, notice. Angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So there's three major things we need to see here, is that Gabriel explained her conception will be by the Holy Spirit and not by a man. Then it will be, he will be conceived based on the power of the Highest, God, the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, to be born, the one to be born is called the Holy One, the Son of God. And so we see here that he is speaking of the fact that he will be called the Son of the Most High, the Son of God. This speaks profoundly to the deity of Jesus Christ. The angel Gabriel continued and tells her of her cousin Elizabeth, who is currently 6 months pregnant. Now, she probably hadn't known of that until this moment. We don't know that for certain. But here he gives her this bombshell, you're pregnant. Here's how it happened. Oh, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth has the forerunner and she's 6 months pregnant. And before the angel even gave her a chance to say, like, her mind is exploding with all this new information, the angel said and made a profound statement that we all need to remember in verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. with God, nothing will be impossible. Here he makes this profound statement to what she must have been thinking. How can it be? Holy Spirit, having a baby without the help of a man, my cousin pregnant, and she was barren a child at her old age. Miracle after miracle, stunned and overwhelmed. And then the angel gave her a truth she needed to hang on to. But with God, nothing is impossible. We learn later on in Luke 18, verse 27, it said it this way, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And we would say amen. In theory, right? It all started in a different way in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Since the announcement of the virgin conception of Jesus recorded in the gospel, people have questioned the validity and the truth of it. The unregenerate world has attacked it mainly not because it's not true, but because they don't believe that anything supernatural could happen. It is pure, raw unbelief. They do not believe in supernaturalism. And though I pose the question, why is this impossible? Think for a moment with me. God, who had the ability to see into the future and know exactly what's going to happen to the ultimate T and never fail in any of the details, that's not hard for him to do. Or he knows perfectly what you and I are thinking at any point, any time, during any day of our entire existence. Not only does he know what we're thinking, he knows our motive and intent of our action. Let me ask you this. Do you know what your best friend is thinking right now? Or let me rephrase it. Have you ever known what your best friend was thinking? No, we don't have that ability to penetrate. I'm reading your mind. We don't have the ability to see and determine the future. But God does. Or how about this? He created the entire universe and all that is in it from nothing. Created everything, said the word, boom, appeared. Perfectly working in order, in place. Jeremiah 32:17 said it this way, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power, outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. If God create everything that we see and know and still learning out of nothing, so why is it impossible for that same God to cause a girl to conceive a child without the aid of a human male? It's not impossible. We even have a great quote in our bulletin from Matthew Henry. Listen to this one. I would have added it if I had it when I was doing my notes. The God who took a motherless woman out of the side of a man, Eve, outside of a man, took a fatherless man out of the body of a woman. So we have here, Eve came out of without the aid, so did Christ. He came out without a father from a human perspective. So after those words, Mary was humbled. Humbled so much. Notice, please look at verse 38 with me. Behold, she said, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Now, that might not catch you, but if you do a word study on the word maidservant, you know what that means? You know what she just called herself? She called herself, it is a Greek word that speaks to a female slave. I am nothing more than a slave for God. Therefore, whatever God wishes with me, so be it. So be it. I stress that because there is so much worship of Mary. She'd been favored, she'd been graced, she'd been blessed, but she's not God and she's not equal with Jesus, her son. She needed him. Later on in later on when she goes and visits with Elizabeth, she acknowledges she needed a Savior and rejoices in God, her Savior. And so we see here, she calls herself a female slave. So be it, let the will of the Lord be done to me according to the message of the angel. So that was our first one. Now I want you to turn to Matthew. And what we're going to do is we're going to go chronologically in this story. Go to Matthew chapter 1. You'll see the outline had the passage that I'm going to. Point number 2 talked about Joseph's angel, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. You should all have more than enough time to get there because I ended up going to Malachi. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now we're going to be introduced to Joseph's angel. Pick it up in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. So obviously, conception has happened. She's growing. Joseph knows. I didn't produce that. How do I know that? Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So we have the background in verses 18 and 19 real clearly. It just speaks to the fact that now the angel comes to Joseph. Now we don't have the name of the angel, an unnamed angel. It's just an angel that comes to Joseph. And he already is troubled by the dynamic and situation between him and Mary because she's pregnant. And so he wanted, out of love and respect for her, wanted to put her away quietly and secretly to, but yet, as we see here, the angel now comes in verse 20 and appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The custom of the day was what we would call an engagement, and then after an engagement period, we have the wedding. In Jewish culture and custom, when they were betrothed, they were legally married, but they didn't consummate the marriage until a year later when they were separated, and it would test the fidelity and faithfulness, and the man was supposed to get things in order and prepare for his new bride, and then when the bridegroom's friend brings her, that's when they came together and consummated the marriage. Well, when they were, somehow they came together and she'd pregnant already. This is where we're at. And he's troubled by this. And the angel said, don't be afraid to take and finish her off in the way of consummating the marriage. That's what he is saying in verse 20. Because what's in her is not a child of adultery or fornication. It is a child conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, there had never been a time where we have ever learned of that happening. Certainly not recorded in Scripture. But we do have prophecy that said this is what was going to happen. We have it in our story here in the Matthew account. And so as we continue, in verse 21 it said, and she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. That's the statement I want you to get a hold of. His name and what he came for. His name means Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah save. It is the same Hebrew name that we have for Joshua. Joshua means Jehovah is salvation, Jehovah save. So in his name, it speaks to the fact of his mission. And the angel goes on and explains his mission. For he will save his people from their sin. Not from Roman domination, not from poverty, not from any of the things that the world values, but the greatest problem that every man, woman, and child has ever had, and that is their sin. He came to save his people from their sin, from the consequences, from the judgment of their sin. We know the story later on. He was our substitute. He took our place on the cross. So when you look at verse 22 and 23, the angel goes on and now says, you should have, in a sense, you should have known this, because though it was done in verse 22, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And so we see here, the prophecy is out of Isaiah 7:14. And what is unique is Isaiah didn't explain the definition of the word Emmanuel, but the angel did. God, this child in her is God with us. So he not only has his name, Jehovah save his people from their sin, but his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And so we see here, to answer the question of our title this morning, what child is this? It's answered with the name Jesus, meaning Jehovah save, and Emmanuel, God with us. So what happened? As soon as the dream was over, Joseph waked up in verse 24. Being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. People ask me all the time, do you believe in dreams? Did God speak through dreams? Yeah, he can. But let's make sure it wasn't bad pizza that the night before. But the real issue is, let's look at this dream. This dream had an angel come and gave biblical content with prophecy that concerned him. And he woke up not to think he was special, but to come obey the command that the angel gave him. He took Mary to be his wife. But he did one thing that he didn't do at that time, found in verse 25. Notice what it said. And did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus, which means, this is a phrase that is a Jewish idiom for sexual intercourse between a man and a woman. did not know. Obviously, Joseph knew who Mary was. Not that. It was a Jewish idiom that speak to having that relationship. In other words, he had no sexual relationship with his wife Mary until the baby was born. So there was never any suspect or question of the virgin conception to the all the way to the point of nothing from a human perspective involved in giving the birth of Jesus Christ. So we see here the angel gave us a lot so far. Now we got one more. Now I'll go back to Luke chapter 2, please. Like I said, we're going chronologically through the story. The angel came to Mary first. She got pregnant. Angel went to Joseph and explained what happened and who it is that is in her. Not just any average old person. This is Emmanuel. This is none other than Jesus, Jehovah saved. Now, one of my favorite stories, the shepherd's angel. Luke 2, verses 8 through 14, follow along as I read. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping their watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth lying in the manger." Suddenly there was with the angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Here another unnamed angel. He come to bring the important message to the shepherd. Now this is the time of his birth. Not conception, not coming along as she's pregnant, but born. Okay? The news that the angel had given this message to give to these lowly shepherds out in the field. You can imagine what it must have been like. You know, it was another day at the field, I guess, or night at the field, okay? And then all of a sudden, what happened? There is glory coming. An angel appears. And it appeared at night with the glory of God shining around them. From this introduction, the shepherds were greatly shaken with fear. That's why it said they were greatly afraid. This is not normal. This is a bigger force than we can reckon with. So what did the angel do? He did the same thing he did with Mary. Do not be afraid. Do not need a fear. In fact, I bring you good news. I bring you good tidings of great joy. So instead of being fearful, have great joy. So what could possibly be so great to be as great, you know, the polar opposite from great shaken fear to great joy? Next verse. This is the key to answering our question and our title. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, which prophetically was always Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Here we have three things. Born in the city of David, Bethlehem, a fulfilled prophecy. We have a Savior. We have Christ the Lord. One of the greatest statements in all of the incarnation of the birth of Jesus Christ. The word Savior certainly would connect with Matthew 1:21, for he will save his people from their sin. this is the kind of Savior that he was and is. Christ the Lord can be broken down. The word Christ means, the word Christ is used 569 times in the New Testament, each time in reference to the Old Testament promise of the coming Messiah. This is his office, not his, you know, so often people think Jesus Christ is his first and last name. No, it's Jesus and his office. The Messiah, Christ the Lord. The idea here of Lord is Christ who is the Lord. This is none other than the fulfillment of what we have in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Here we see he is God, he's mighty God, he is everlasting Father. The idea here is he is God who is Christ, the Messiah. That was the method that the angel gave to the shepherds. And by the way, go see the child. The sign is you will see the child. They already knew where, because in the city of David with Bethlehem, the sign of the baby in swaddling cloths and in a manger. And so what we see here in this, the beauty of this, it was almost like the content, this is where it all, like heaven broke loose. Because look at the next verse, next two verses. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Here the angel came to give the message to the shepherds. Now it was like all of heaven opened up and a host of angels is singing and praising God. But what is happening here? Today, born the Savior, the Christ the Lord. And so we see here from our messages from the three narratives of the angel speaking to Mary, Joseph, and the shepherd. We have the complete message from the angel. Gabriel said to Mary, he is the Son of the Highest. The Son of the Most High. He is the Holy One. He is the Son of God. The angel said to Joseph, his name is Jesus. Jehovah saves. He will save his people from their sins. He is Emmanuel. God with us. And then the angel to the shepherd, he is Savior. One who delivers us from our sins. Christ, the promised long-awaited Messiah. Lord, the mighty God. The angels all agree that Jesus is God. The Lord who saves his people from their sin. No different than what we have been learning in our study on Wednesday night in the Gospel of John. The theme and the thrust of John's Gospel of John 20 verse 31. And these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you may have life in his name. If there's anything about Christmas, each time it comes around, beloved, it must be, we must remember the truth that this holy child is Jesus. God who saved. God who came to save. He is the Christ, the Messiah. He is the Son of God, God with us. Peter said it so well in Act 4 when asked, by what authority do you heal this man? And after he gave, it came from the authority of Jesus Christ. And then he turned it to verse 12 of chapter 4. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Beloved, there is no other name but Jesus Christ, Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. So how did the decrepit him answer the question? What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch their keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. This is Christ the King, the babe, the son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. King of kings, salvation bring. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Oh, beloved, come to Christ, the King of kings. And he is the one, and he alone brings salvation. Don't forget the purpose and the meaning and method of Christmas. God came to save. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this year of celebration of this great message of the truth of the birth of your Son, the incarnation, the marvelous truth that speaks so eloquently to our salvation. Oh Lord, my great prayer is that we as your people would have it strongly impressed upon our hearts and minds and never to forget what Christmas is and what it's all about. May we, while we think of the narrative, let us not forget the message of the angel. Their message is what brings great joy and great tidings. If there's anyone here this morning, their greatest message they needed to learn from this morning, that is Jesus and Jesus alone, they must come. Salvation brings. When you turn to him, look to him, humble yourself before him, fall before him by faith alone. In him, the King alone, salvation comes. Oh, do that. We ask that the Holy Spirit will draw you to him. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.